This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Massachusetts prosecutors may hold another trial for a man whose murder conviction was overturned after he spent 32 years in prison. Darrell Jones became emotional during his court hearing today about the evidence that might be used in another trial for a murder that Jones maintains he did not commit. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman, who discovered evidence that led to Jones being released from prison, was at today's hearing. Hi there, Bruce.
Hi, Deb.
So what happened today?
Well, it was supposed to be another routine hearing in this case that's gone on, as you say, 33 years, but it turned out to be very dramatic and intense day in court. It started out as a kind of a textbook case. Jones's attorney, who's named Paul Rudolph, presented two motions, one to dismiss the case entirely and another to suppress a key piece of evidence that had been tampered with by a Brockton police officer. It was a 1985 video recording of an alleged eyewitness named Terry Lynn Starks.
The Commonwealth lost, destroyed, or failed to preserve two items of evidence. One, a portion of the recorded interview of a critical eyewitness. And two, the substance of the interrogation of Mr. Jones. We've shown that this evidence is not just material, but critical in this case.
Deb, this is a key piece of evidence. This was used to convict Jones back in 1986, and we now know that it actually was not an original that was shown to the jury, but a copy, and it had been at the original trial, had that been known, it would never have been allowed as evidence. Now, 33 years ago, Terry Lynn Starks was in a car outside of a bar. She was with four other people. It was late on a November night. It was very dark. It was rainy. They were faced in the opposite direction of this murder. And a Brockton detective named Joe Smith interviewed this woman, Terry Lynn Starks, 9 days later. They found her up in Methuen, and they returned to Brockton. This detective told Jones that Terry Lynn Starks that Jones had been arrested. She says on the video that she doesn't name Jones. She's shown a photo by Smith, who says the photo is of Jones. Starks only refers to a shorter man and who is the shooter and a taller man, the victim. But I got to tell you, Jones is 6 feet tall, and the victim was 6'1", so hardly any difference between the two people.
So I guess why use this video as evidence, especially after the first court ruling we got from Superior Court Judge Thomas McGuire, who said that this tape was deliberately doctored, and then Jones was released because of that, right, from prison in December?
Right, and it gets even stranger. There's this bizarre edit in that videotape that lasts anywhere from about 18 seconds to 2.25 minutes. Expert analysis shows definitively that the tape was deliberately edited, and Judge McGuire, who you mentioned, and overturned Jones's conviction last year, said that Detective Smith, the guy who made that tape 33 years ago, had lied under oath in his court appearance back then, and that he lied again in the evidentiary hearing back in last year, 2017. But Plymouth County Prosecutor Jessica Kenny says that Terry Lynn Starks identified a photo of Jones on the tape, and she says it's critical in the case, except for the small portion about the edit, which he's willing to throw out. Here's the prosecutor.
The entire tape should never have even been played in the Commonwealth's view for the jury. And the only portion that would be sought to be introduced by the Commonwealth at a retrial, if Ms. Starks does not make an in-court identification, would be her prior out-of-court identification as substantive evidence.
Hmm. So, Bruce, you spoke with Terry Lynn Starks just yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did she say?
Yeah, she... I had spoken to her a couple of times a few months ago, but yesterday I called her up, and she said she didn't remember the case back in 1986, that she didn't know Jones, couldn't identify them, him, and she actually was very angry to be contacted.
So why, Bruce, what's the big picture here? Why does the prosecution want to go through another trial with so many problems, potential problems, with testimony and evidence?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, remember, we got seven eyewitnesses, three of which are dead, and out of the remaining four, three of them basically have recanted. During the trial, they couldn't identify Jones in court. Mm. So it's a really good question.
Mm. So Jones, though, for his part, he wants to be retried. Why?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, he's always asked for a retrial. That's what he's been seeking all these years. And three times his attempts to appeal his case have resulted in nothing. Last year, he got an evidentiary hearing, which turns up that this tape had been doctored. So he's been very frustrated. And today in court, Deb, I got to tell you, at the very end, he stood up and he was really, really frustrated.
Let's get to this new trial. I wanted a new trial from day one. I would prefer the new trial because I know the truth. And what I'm saying is that I've been out here in the world. I can't work because of this. I've been out here roaming around out here, unable to do anything I need to do to get on with my life.
Yeah, so he's really frustrated, Deb, and he's saying that the prosecution is just delaying and delaying and delaying, and he wants to move on.
Right. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman, whose reporting in this case actually led to Darrell Jones being released from prison last December, 8 months ago, after spending 32 years in prison. Great work, Bruce. Thanks.
Thank you, Deb.
Stay with us. Coming up, local reaction to the Philadelphia grand jury report outlining decades of child sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.